Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 5 of Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 21 and reading through verse 43, which is found on page 917 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. And now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leaders' house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. And he strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. It's the word of the Lord. Last week we saw where Jesus and his disciples had crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They had crossed over to the Gentile side, if you will. But this week he is back. He's back on the Jewish side. Back on the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee. But whatever side that we find Jesus, Jesus always seems to stay in touch with all of the wrong kinds of people. In the ancient Jewish world, you had to be careful who you touched. If you touched someone who was unclean, then you yourself became unclean. And so there were a lot of people who you just couldn't touch. You were not supposed to touch lepers, because if you touched lepers, you were considered to be unclean. You couldn't touch people who had died, because dead people were unclean, and if you touched someone who had died, you yourself became unclean. You couldn't touch women who were hemorrhaging blood, because if you touched them, you yourself became unclean. But Jesus was always staying in touch with the wrong kinds of people. In our text this morning, it's not so much that Jesus is the one who is reaching out and touching, but rather it is someone who reaches out and touches him, a woman, we are told, who has been hemorrhaging blood. It happens as Jesus, of course, is on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus, an important synagogue leader. And Jairus, of course, has a daughter who is dying. And so he petitions Jesus to come to his house and to heal his daughter. And so Jesus and Jairus and his disciples and the crowds are all rushing to go to Jairus' house so they can attend to Jairus' daughter. But it's on the way to Jairus' place that Jesus is touched by this woman who again is hemorrhaging blood. And I wish we knew more about this woman. Unlike Jairus, she is not given a name. She is just a nameless, faceless woman. All we are told are the circumstances surrounding her illness. For 12 long years, we are told, she has been bleeding. For 12 long years, she has had to endure the pain. She has had to endure the cramps. For 12 long years, she has had to hear the same answer, "We cannot help you, but give us your money." For 12 long years, she has suffered this physical condition. And it had to be a terribly debilitating condition. But of course, the physical debilitation was only half of it. The other half would have been her social isolation. This woman was socially isolated because her illness would have rendered her unclean and therefore unable to touch anyone. Think about that for a moment. Unable to be close to your family because you are unclean. Unable to participate in the worship of the synagogue because you are unclean. Unable to shop in the market because you are unclean. Unable to be about in public. Unclean. And this woman was unclean. We might think about all the unclean people in our society, the people who we don't want to touch, people that we don't want to be near, the people that we think are unclean. So we can imagine this woman going to the marketplace, going about in public, and people whispering to one another, "There she is, don't let her touch you. Don't let her get near to you. Don't touch her because she's unclean." Unclean, unable to be touched. But the good news this morning is that Jesus is in town. Jesus is back from the other side, the unclean side of the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is never afraid to touch all the wrong kinds of people. And so Jesus is in town just when this unclean woman needs him. And I don't know why this woman doesn't go to Jesus directly and tell Jesus what he needs. I'm told that sometimes the best approach is that when you need something, to go to people directly and tell them what you need. But this woman doesn't do that. Maybe it's because she doesn't want the crowd to know her business. Maybe it's because she's a little bit embarrassed to share with Jesus what is going on inside of her body. Or maybe it's because she knows that Jesus is on his way to attend to the daughter of this very important synagogue leader, but for whatever reason, she doesn't tell Jesus what she needs. Instead, she attempts to steal a healing. And just hear her saying to herself, I know that I'm not supposed to touch anyone, but if I can just touch the hem of his clothing, I can be healed and no one will know. And so she touches Jesus as he comes by, just the hem of his garment, just a little part of his clothing. She touches it, hoping to be healed, and she is healed. But rather than Jesus not knowing anything about it, Jesus knows that he has been touched because he feels the power of God leaving his body, the healing, loving, caring, compassionate power of God has left him. And Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched me? I know that somebody touched me. Who touched me? Because the power of God has left me. Who touched me? And I like the response of Jesus' disciples. Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Look at all these people pressing in upon you. What do you mean who touched you? And Jesus says, someone touched me. Who touched me? And I imagine Jesus looking around, maybe looking directly at this woman as she slinks back into anonymity. And he says, who touched me? Are you the one who touched me? Who touched me? And the text says that this woman, with fear and trembling, perhaps because she knows that she's not supposed to be touching anyone, she admits that she is the one who touched Jesus. And we are told that she tells Jesus the whole truth. I'm not sure if I would have told Jesus the whole truth. Some of us don't like telling the whole truth. Maybe I would have told Jesus a little bit of the truth, or maybe I would have told Jesus that part of the truth that, you know, makes me look good. But I don't know if I would have told Jesus the whole truth. But this lady tells Jesus the whole truth. The whole truth about her isolation. The whole truth about how broken she was. The whole truth about the pain that she was feeling deep down inside of herself from being separated from her family, the whole truth of what it means to be a pariah in the community, the whole truth about her brokenness, the whole truth about how people had taken advantage of her, the whole truth about how she stayed at home day after day because she was too ashamed to go out into the marketplace, the whole truth about her anger, her doubts and fears about God. Maybe God wasn't there. She shares with Jesus the whole truth about herself. And Jesus says, daughter, not bleeding woman, not desperate woman, not unclean woman, not nameless, faceless woman, not desperate woman. But he tells this woman what she needs to hear. This woman that has been isolated, this woman that has been separated, this woman who has been a pariah, this woman who thinks she doesn't belong to anyone. He says, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Thank you for being in touch. That, of course, is not the end of the story, because Jairus, the synagogue official, has been standing anxiously by. His plans have been interrupted. He is going with Jesus on the way to his house, and his plans have been interrupted. We can just hear Jairus thinking to himself, come on, Jesus. Come on, we got to go. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to attend to this nameless, faceless woman, but come on, Jesus, my daughter My daughter is sick. She is on the verge of death, and we got to go. I'm desperate. Just like this woman is desperate, I'm desperate too. And I realize that it's out of our desperation that we sometimes come to you. Sometimes we don't even think about you until we are desperate. But I've got to go, Jesus. We've got to get to my place because my daughter is ill, and I need you. And it's just then when someone comes to give Jairus the news. Sorry, Jairus. Regret to inform you that your little girl, the little girl that you love more than anything, your little girl has died. So why bother the teacher any longer? Your little girl has died. Death once again has claimed someone else. Death once again seems to have the last word. Your little girl has died. And we all know what that means. It means not only is this little girl, 12-year-old girl's future been cut short, but it means something else too. It means that she is unclean. Unclean. She cannot be touched. Unclean. Jesus cannot touch her. No one can touch her because no one can touch a dead body without themselves becoming unclean. And this little girl is now unclean. Unclean. No longer able to be touched. Only able to be buried. Unclean. But Jesus is always touching the wrong kinds of people. And so he goes with Jairus to Jairus' house, and he enters the house, and he takes the hand of this little girl, 12-year-old girl, this cold, dead hand that's not supposed to be touched, and he takes her hand, and he places his hand in his hand, and he tells the little girl to get up. And the little girl awakens. And she, like the woman, is restored. Restored to health, restored to community, restored to her family. And that's the thing about Jesus. He's always touching the wrong kinds of people. And whenever Jesus touches someone, even the wrong kinds of people, Jesus never becomes unclean himself, but he restores those who have been unclean to wholeness. He heals them and brings them back to life and brings them back into relationship, their relationship with those whom they love and their relationship with God. Jesus overcomes the uncleanness. This healing story, of course, is a story about Israel. It is a story about God healing God's people, Israel, and restoring Israel to health. Israel, whose spiritual life was on the end, near death. Israel, whose everyday common people were being bled to death by the officials, bled to death by people taking advantage of them. But now Jesus comes to heal Israel. But Israel's story is also our story, because in many respects, we today too, it seems, are spiritually dead. Our religious life sometimes lacks vitality in life. We are so caught up in ourselves that we don't know the way to go spiritually. Our spiritual life has been turned in on itself, and we seem to be a people who are spiritually dead. And we too know what it means to live in a society where everyday common people seem like they're being bled to death in all kind of different ways, people who are desperate, people seeking meaning in life in various different ways, but also people who are simply trying to survive, but who are being bled to death. And so Jesus wants us to know that he is there for our healing too, for the healing of the whole world. And so this is about Israel's healing. And this is about our healing too, and it's about the healing of the whole world. But Mark is telling us this story because Mark wants us to know something about God. He wants us to know something about the nature of God, because oftentimes when we think of God as being up there someplace, up there, out of reach, up there, remote. God, you know, sitting in holy splendor. God who is too holy to be a part of us, to come down and get God's hands dirty with us unclean human beings. God who is so holy that we can't even gaze upon God and live, let alone touch God. And because we often see God as up there, remote, distant, holy, that's the way we tend to be sometimes. If we want to be like God, that's the way we act, that we don't want to touch certain kind of people. We want to wall ourselves off from certain kind of people. Don't want to touch these kinds of people over here. We need to make sure that we're not close to them anyway. We don't want our kids to be close to them. Don't want to live in the same kinds of neighborhoods because they're unclean, and we can't be near unclean people because we too might become unclean. But our text this morning reminds us that the God that we come to know is the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God is, the Gospels tell us, look at Jesus. If you want to know something about the nature and character of God, look at Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, you find a God who is willing to touch all the wrong kinds of people. A God who is not only willing to touch, but a God who is willing to be touched. A God who is touched by all of our suffering. A God who is touched by all of our pain. A God who takes that deep down inside of his heart and is genuinely touched by what we as human beings go through. A God who is touched so much by it that God has given his own self so that we might be healed and restored, so that we might have life and have that life in abundance. And so Mark wants us to know something about God. But this story is also about us, about all of us here this morning. Because you see, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ in the world today. We are the people through whom God is healing God's world. We are the people that God has called to be about the business of repairing and healing the broken places of our world. And our world needs healing today more than any time. Our world needs healing. And we are the people who are called to be about the healing business of God in our world. And that means that we are people who are called to stay in touch. We are people who are called to stay in touch with God. People who are called to stay in touch with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also people who are called to stay in touch with the suffering and the pain of the world around us. Too often the church has stayed out of touch. So the people feel that they can't come to church or reach out to the church because we're just out of touch with the suffering and pain of the world around us. But this morning we are reminded that we too are called to stay in touch and to show the love and the mercy and the compassion and the healing of a gracious and loving God who loves and cares for all of us more and we can even begin to imagine. So friends, I would enjoin you this morning to stay in touch. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your loving presence in the midst of us, for your loving and healing presence in the midst of our world. Help us to be a people who stay in touch with you, and to stay in touch with one another, and to stay in touch with the suffering of the world, to give ourselves for your purpose in our world. because it's only in the giving, a self-giving love, can our broken world be healed. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.